It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Welcome to the July podcast at DonationCoder.com. We're going to start out with Zane's rant on installing new software, and or not installing.
Hi, this is Zane Riddling with a great software list, where I look at software from the user's point of view. You know me as Z Riddling in the forums. The last time I was on, I talked about crippleware and what an annoyance that is. Today I want to talk about my recent experience with software activation and licensing. 2 weeks ago, thinking that a certain beta upgrade would screw up my system, I set about backing up my files in preparation just in case. So before going to bed that Friday night, back in those dreamy days when Germany and England were still on a collision course toward the World Cup final, I installed the beta and watched it reboot to a blue screen. I laughed, knowing I had a solid backup plan and wanting to start with a fresh installation of Windows anyway. So you can guess what happens next. Of course you can. Murphy's Law decided once again to drag Zane Riddlin out into the street, kick me square in the groin in front of everybody, and laugh his sick self silly watching me writhe and groan on the ground begging for something, anything to work as it should. Oh, the agony. Plan A. First, I figured I'd try Windows rebuild and recovery commands. Those didn't work. Plan B. Let's restore my Acronis images on the C drive. However, the problem was the Acronis True Image program told me that my backup files were corrupt and could not be verified. Now, that seems odd that an image backup program wouldn't verify its own archives before writing them to disk. Plan C. I have everything I need anyway backed up on DVD and RAR files. And though it would take me longer, off I went. However, I had too much backed up and couldn't find everything, even though it was all there. I just hadn't reviewed my backup scheme for so long that I only had hints of where to look, for example, for customization backups. Plan D, back to square one. I installed Windows XP, but then it wouldn't allow Service Pack 2 to be installed. So I started over and installed Windows XP again. Turning off automatic updates until I was at a comfortable install point helped. But then Windows started nagging me about where my firewall was and where my antivirus program was. Well, I didn't want to install those until I had all my main software installed, because they throw those endlessly annoying little pop-up dialogues at you over and over until you're ready to smash your face right through the monitor and slit your wrist. Well, that's another story. So I go about the task, installing one program after another. And though I thought I'd try it offline, most programs want to phone home, or need to phone home, the license and or activation code before installation is complete, or worse, before installation even begins. And despite not needing to, almost every program, including many utilities, demand a reboot. Oh, the programs work without rebooting, I know. But gee, the freak, man, like a monkey on crack, they wanted to reboot anyway. I'm an experienced Windows user, and should have few problems with a Windows installation, right? Wrong. Activation is fine when it works. But when it doesn't, the honest user is screwed and wastes a lot of time and energy regaining the application they paid for. Now, what was the worst offending software, you think? Believe it or not, it was Corel. Their licensing system absolutely positively blows chunks. Now Corel did not recognize either CorelDRAW 13 or PaintShop Pro 10, which precluded me from installing them, even though I was logged into my Corel account online, which clearly showed my license number and purchase info. They said I didn't exist. Try getting Corel on the phone, and they want to charge you. If they can't, they toss you into Muzak hell for over 40, 50 minutes before they pick up the phone. At least that's my experience. Snagit wanted administrator privileges, even though I was logged in as the administrator. UltraEdit was fine, but it took the longest to customize, because within it, I changed quite a few keyboard shortcuts, menus, and toolbars, and their new version 12 is a different animal. As mentioned before, Acronis True Image just didn't work. Of all programs, shouldn't your image program be bulletproof? Star Downloader Pro gave me a DLL error dialog that wouldn't work properly, and still I haven't fixed that one. They asked you to email them for registered support, but after 2 weeks, I've heard nothing. Now, once Windows was installed, though, it continued to plague me with minor annoyances, such as changing the screensaver or hiding the quick launch bar, displaying the clock with every reboot, despite setting those settings or those options correctly. A few registered tweaks from Kelly's Corner XP.com cured the remaining silliness, but it took about 3 full days to customize the PC the way I wanted it, and that's without the video apps I use. Except for Word and Excel, I don't rely on a lot of software suites, but instead more targeted utilities, so it takes me longer to load everything naturally. So here's my advice to software companies. If you're going to use activation schemes when licensing your programs, make sure they work. Licensing and activation are part of a program's initial usability that every registered user encounters. So when you put loyal paying customers who are already frustrated through hell to install the software they paid for, you make it easy for us to reconsider your closest competitor. I get tired of being made to feel like a criminal when your license number and your order ID and your activation code doesn't work with your program on your website. If you're inclined to use open source apps for no other reason than cost, this might be another reason to avoid persistent licensing hassles. Reinstalling Windows is not routine for most of us, so we expect it to be a frustrating experience. But for someone whose goal is just to work on a computer or use it as a tool, mitigating the pain and effort of reinstalling cannot be underestimated. So think about that. For DonationCoder.com, I'm Zane Ridley.
This month, we sent our intrepid correspondent, Tracy, out to interview some hardcore gamers. Let's hear what they had to say. Thank you, Tracy, for that extremely enlightening interview.
Just a remix.
This time we ask, is a computer male or female? In a verbal dispute, some expert computer users have discussed this question earlier and finally alleged the following. The female group of the users states, the computer is definitely male, because you have to turn him on first to get his attention. He disposes a lot of information, but he is still aimless. He should be helpful in solving problems, but half of the time the problem is he itself. Just at the moment when you got one, you'll notice that if you have waited a little bit longer, you could have had another, better one. The male group voted for, the computer is of course female, because not even the creator and inventor understand all the inner logic. The language they use for communication between each other is incomprehensible to all others. Even the smallest mistakes and errors are stored in the long-time memory for later use. And, as soon as you have one, you have to spend most of your money for accessories and extensions. So, what does this mean for us at the end? Of course, nothing.
One of the programs you can download from DonationCoder.com is a little utility called Pop-Up Wisdom. And what this program does is sits in your system tray, and when you double-click it, it shows you a random joke or a famous quote or some other piece of text. And we're going to close this month's show with some words from the author of the one original book of text used in Pop-Up Wisdom, a book called Corkscrews.
My name is Mel Reichler. I'm the author with Jim Egan of The Corkscrews, which is what comes up out of the box if you load Pop-Up Wisdom and run it. I want to thank Mouser for selecting them as the default content of his program, Pop-Up Wisdom. Corkscrews are a name for a collection of aphorisms or epigrams. They were always meant to be more than simply witty sayings. What more? Corkscrews are sentences with a curl, a kink, and a point. When it works, and not all of them work all of the time, a corkscrew does three things. It shows you an idea, then it shows you the pattern in the idea, then it shows you the pattern without the idea. Another way of putting this that is probably just as obscure is that a corkscrew is a very dynamic mental object. You read it, and once it gets inside your head, it disassembles itself, then it reassembles itself, and then it takes itself apart again and puts itself together again into something very different from what it was when you first read it. You can think about them as dynamic little mental origami, which you first see folded, and then on their own they unfold in your head, and then they refold themselves into something quite different from what they were when you first saw them. How are they written? Like most of the things Jim and I wrote together, just what the first birthing step was is lost. We used to get together once a week for Chinese dinner, and a lot of them were written between the dumplings and the fortune cookies. Some of these I wrote, some Jim wrote, but the majority I think we wrote together. One of us would come up with a kernel, a knot of words, and we would bounce it around like a game of pong, changing a word, changing the direction of the bend of the sentence, sharpen the kink, redress it in a costume of different words. Here are some of my favorite corkscrews. In a pinch, you can use a hammer as a screwdriver, but only once per screw. Saying machines can't think because they can't think like men is like saying men can't fly because they can't fly like birds. Darkness also travels at the speed of light. Sex is a pleasure. Good sex is pleasure. Great sex is what pleasure is about. Babies are nature's way of explaining sex in exactly the same way in which fat is nature's way of explaining food. Armies never surrender at night. Wisdom for the ant is not walking on sidewalks, even if the cracks are filled with candy and cake. We mourn in our victory the death of possibility. The trouble with men is that they think that the same thing that caused the thing to happen explains it. The trouble with women is that they know this is not so, and they know why. If you want to read more about the corkscrews, you can check the website, www.themanwiththeladder.com. There's a corkscrew page, but you can also look at the meditations, which are meditations on the corkscrews. While you are there, you might as well look at the Man with the Ladder stories also. They are a lot of fun.
That wraps up July's podcast. I'd like to thank everyone who participated this month, including Senator Ted Stevens, whose forced speech on the internet as a series of tubes was remixed and put to music by Paul Holcomb and used for the introduction to this month's show. I'd like to remind you all that we accept submissions from members for the podcast, and we'd love to have yours. For Mouser at donationcoder.com, signing off, and we'll see you next month.